Good morning, House. Today's the 35th day of the session. Good morning. It is nice to have a response once in a while. Today's March 1st, 2005. As I said, the 35th day of the session. Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Halden.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Drexel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Uholt.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Gabe.
Here.
Gilmore. Gingery. Goggle. Hageman. Hammond. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen.
Excuse.
Jorgensen, excuse. Landon. Latta. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Kohlberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Latta.
Latta excused.
Latta excused.
You want to
57 present, 2 excused.
House members, today's prayer will be offered by the Reverend Robin Chance, representing St. Christopher's Church of Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many gifts that have come from the work of your representatives in the state legislature. Your presence and collaboration, freedom of speech, heartfelt sincerity, and the friendships formed during this time have provided for enlightening relationships to better provide for the needs of the people of this state of Wyoming. Continue to guide us with wisdom and knowledge so that we may serve you with a spirit of charity and justice, that with steadfast purpose we may faithfully serve in our offices to promote the well-being of all people. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There you go. Put the Bible, yeah, put the prayer book, yeah.
Yeah, we could do it this afternoon, probably.
Yeah.
Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 28, 2005 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Goggles, Representative Zwanitzer.
You've heard the reading of the report. Without objection, the Journal Committee report is adopted. Members of the House, if you would turn your attention to the west balcony, it isn't very often that we get the Star Valley Middle School government class coming to see what actually happens in government. And so far, we've given them quite an impression. Please welcome them. Please stand. Stand up.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, just a minute. The middle school had the delightful tour across Wyoming. They took the direct route through Casper and on to Independence Rock. So they believe they have traveled to a foreign country. They were on a bus for about 2 days. Again, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's nice they could come and see the dictator in the foreign country. Mr. Speaker. That's otherwise known as the Speaker of the House, kids. Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Not anymore.
please.
Please proceed, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce you to two of the three of my favorite constituents from Cody. And one of them, the smaller one up there, Mackenzie, was when Debbie and I first came down here in our first session, he was in vitro at that time. And he has graced the halls a variety of times over the years, but this is the first time Mac has been here this year, and he's been busy in school and all kinds of things, but that's Mackenzie Simpson and his mom, Debbie.
Hey! Representative Brechtel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Fellow representatives, I would like to introduce somebody to you this morning. You know, when a friend of mine told me one time that when you sing, you pray twice, but he said, probably for the best of the rest of us, it would be best if you only pray once. I have somebody here that makes up for the difference in my family, but and he's somebody I can look up to. Michael made a special trip all the way up here just to sing to you this morning, and I greatly appreciate it. Took the day off, so... with that, I ask you to welcome my son and one of my greatest friends in life, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 440. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 87, Sex Offender Registry. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 441. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 258, Telepharmacies. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 442. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 262, Aeronautics Commission Amendments. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 443. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 290, State Elected Officials, Service on Boards and Commissions. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 444. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 308, Methamphetamine Initiative. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 17, noes 13. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 445. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 316, Library Amends. Ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 446. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 340, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Systems. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 447. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 25, Special Reserve Account. Ayes 2, noes 28. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 449. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 93, Tax Exemption, Rolling Stock. The House bill listed above passed on a third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 23, noes 7. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 449. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 281, Legislative Compensation. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 25, noes 5. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 450, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 329, Executive Training Institute, Graduate School of Business. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 23, noes 7. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 451. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 8, Open Container Law. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 3, number 1, report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 22, noes 8. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Doctor of the day is Renee Hinkle, M.D. of Cheyenne. Nurses of the day are Max and Kay, Max Adkins and Kay Hanks from the Wyoming State Hospital. I saw them earlier, but I don't see them now, but let's welcome them anyway. Next, exciting order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. First enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 109.
House Enrolled Act number 109, being written House Bill 165, an act relating to open meetings.
About to sign House Enrolled Act number 109, being original House Bill 165. I have so signed. Next act is Enrolled Act 110.
House Enrolled Act number 110, being original House Bill number 87, an act relating to sex offender registration.
About to sign House Enrolled Act 110, being original House Bill 87. I have so signed. Next enrolled act is 111.
House Enrolled Act number 111, being original House Bill number 258, an act relating to the Wyoming Pharmacy Act.
I have to sign enrolled act number 111, being original House Bill 258. I have so signed. Next enrolled act is 112.
House Bill Act Number 112, being original House Bill Number 290, enacted relating to the administration of government regarding stated elected officials to designate personnel representing them on boards.
About to sign and roll Act Number 112, being original House Bill 290. I have so signed. Next enrolled act is 113.
House enrolled act number 113, being original House Bill number 316, an act relating to library.
About to sign enrolled act number 113, being original House Bill 316. I have so signed. Next enrolled act is 114.
House enrolled act number 114, being original House Bill number 340, an act relating to the legislature, providing for a select committee on mental health and substance abuse services.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 114, being original House Bill 340. I have so signed. Now that order of business of concurrence on requests from the Senate. First message of, that we'll take up deals is message number 442, dealing with House Bill 2, Senate amendments to House Bill 262. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 442, dealing with House Bill 262, Aeronautics Commission Amendments. And these are very small and minor corrections, and I urge your favorable consideration on concurrence.
Is there any further discussion? Further discussion. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 262. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Boggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filt, Powers, Thorberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 262. Message number 444, and dealing with House Bill 308, is laid back for consideration later in the day. So our next message for consideration is message number 448, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 93. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move we concur on message number 448, House Bill 93. This is the tax exemption on rolling stock repairs. What the Senate did is put in a sunset date of July 1st, 2015, as well as a requirement for some reporting on what all is involved there back to the Joint Minerals and Interim Committee. And I've checked with the department. They said they've already keeping those records. There's no problem there. And it seems like this is a good addition to that bill, and I would urge an aye vote.
Is there any discussion? Any further discussion? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 93. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Foggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Astert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson. Jones. Jorgensen excused. Landon. Latta excused. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin. McComey. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Pedersen. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Forberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlett. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. Wright. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill number 93. Next message for our consideration is message number 449, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 281. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 449, House Bill 281, Legislative Compensation. The language that we had when we left here is on page 2, dealt with the mileage to be claimed during a session when you go home to meet with your constituents. The language in the bill actually wasn't correct. The way it left the House, it said you would submit a certificate for mileage to the chief clerk of the House in which the legislator is serving, which really isn't what you would be doing. You would, in fact, be turning in that certificate to the LSO office, and that's what the Senate did here. They said, as you can see, delete lines 15 and 16, insert verified claim for mileage to legislative service office. That is actually what you'd be doing. It's a good amendment, and it's something we should have in the bill. I ask for your concurrence.
Any further debate? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 281. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buell, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Pastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Wanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 281. Next message for our consideration is message number 450 concerning Senate amendments to House Bill 329. Chairman Wasserberger, are you...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 450 to House Bill 329, Executive Training Institute and Graduate School of Business. Essentially, what the Senate did was they changed the wording on page 3, line 1, essentially where the University of Wyoming Foundation would be changed to a steering committee, and I think that's fine. Then on a second reading amendment, they changed the amount of funding in the bill from $1.5 million to $632,000. And then on third reading, they deleted the $632,000 and took it back up to $945,000. And that's where the money is now. I think it's agreeable to everyone, and I would urge concurrence.
Any further discussion or debate? Seeing none, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 329. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Prechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson, Bilt, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Rosserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed.
Oops.
Gilmore, aye to no. Are there any other changes? I'll have to go back to the vote. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 329. It is later in the day, and according to Chairman Osborne, we are now able to take up message number 444, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 308. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 444 on House Bill 308, which is the methamphetamine initiative. The Senate has made some, and I ask you to vote no. The Senate's made some rather extensive changes to a part of the bill that we made extensive changes to, and I'd just like an opportunity to go through this with them and make sure we ended up with the right answer for the section of that high interest. So I would ask that you for a no vote.
Is there any further discussion? Further debate? Seeing none, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 308. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Prechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Bilt, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Ronister. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 no's, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 308. A conference committee will be appointed later in the day. We're now in that order. I'm sorry. Two things. We've got one of our page, Jessica Stevens, could come forward. Many of you may not know, but this happens to be the 22nd birthday of our page. I think we should welcome her that. Yeah. Right there is fine. And I think it's just proper that she should have the House's rendition of once again the Happy Birthday song. Mr. Minority Whip, would you lead us in that? In the key of...
To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jessica. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you for your fine work. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the 58th, I want to tell you today about the finest county in this state, the place of my conception.
Too much information, Chairman Edwards.
County number 13, which just happens to be my lucky number, having been born on the 13th of January. Converse County was also the home of one of the most populous and maybe we should say notorious sheriffs in the state. This man was sheriff of Converse County from 1938 to 1942. He was my granddad. He was the most shot-up sheriff west of the Mississippi. Was involved in 6 gun battles, and 2 of them involved gas drive-offs. None of those gun battles killed him. We have the bullet from the gas drive-off that hit him in the side of the head. It's in the museum and down on the fairgrounds. Converse County was created in 1888 from Albany County, and aptly so, number 13 was assigned. There's a 3-member board of county commissioners, Frank E. Thorne, Sharon Lovett, and Mark Cash. Converse County has 4,254 square miles. It is 9th in size. It has a population of 12,052. Ranking 13th of all 23 counties. Assessed valuation in 2005 was $417,287,747. There are 4 incorporated municipalities. Douglas, with a population of 5,288. Glen Rock, with a population of 2,231. Rolling Hills, population 449. And Lost Springs, who still claims a population of 1. Now, I assure you there's at least 5 people down there, but in the census, they evidently only counted the mayor when she was home one day, I guess. There's other unincorporated communities, which include Esterbrook, Shawnee, Orange Junction, and Bill, and all of those of somewhat minor population. There is one large coal mine, Antelope Coal, which unfortunately has been digging in the wrong direction. They're digging to the north, and we're going to have to move the county line farther north just to include that coal mine. I'm sure that will be coming up shortly in a bill within the next year or two. Probably we'll have some great success. We do have a big coal lease that was just awarded in
in the northern part of Converse County, south of that Antelope coal mine that is expanding to the north, and we will get production from that in about 5 years, evidently. We have a lot of miners living in Douglas and are bused to the Antelope coal and North Antelope Rochelle coal mine in whatever county that is to the north of us. We have Power Resources, which is the only producing uranium mine in the United States. And we saved that mine a couple of years ago by giving them a tax-exempt status for a while. And they are now pumping out uranium in big quantities, and it's an in-situ mining operation. So all that nasty uranium that's putting out that radiation doesn't get to do that. Keep it encapsulated the whole time. Okay. We have both the Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, and Union Pacific Railroads as big employers. They work out of Bill, Wyoming, and they are, a large number of them live in Douglas and in Converse County, and that is a big asset to the community. Progress Rail, the rail car facility, repair facility that we just gave a tax-exempt status to again, is in Converse County, up at Bill, and it employs about 50 people. Oil and gas production continues to be a significant portion of our economy, just like all the other counties. And gas has increased quite a bit in the last few years. Coal bed methane is just getting started, but certainly doesn't expect to be at the level of Campbell, Johnson, and Sheridan counties. We have our agricultural people, one of whom happens to be our very own Representative Jim Hageman, who has been kicking around that county for I don't know how many years in his various ranching endeavors. We have the major highway I-25, mile markers 135 and 140 that go right through the edge of town. We have U.S. Highway 1820 going out to Esterbrook, and we have that state highway that should be an Interstate 59 going north from Douglas to Gillette. We have a Converse County Memorial Hospital. It's one of our largest employers. It has a clinic, a branch clinic in Glen Rock, and Glen Rock also has a branch clinic from Casper. There's two school districts, one in Douglas and one in Glen Rock. And we have an Eastern Wyoming Community College campus, which is right across the street from my house. I happen to have gone to the part of the second grade in that building, and it looks the same. That was a lot of years ago. We also have the Law Enforcement Academy, which is formal training for all law enforcement in the state. We have, as law enforcement in the county, we have the Douglas Police Department, the Glen Rock Police Department, and the Converse County Sheriff's Office, with pictures of my granddad on the wall. We have a detention facility which houses 33 people. The Sheriff's Office, at full strength, has 18 deputies and the sheriff, and they also have 13 people working in the detention center of the Converse Jail. Fire departments are all volunteer fire departments throughout the county and the two facilities, Douglas and Glen Rock. For recreation, we have a recreation center in both Douglas and Glen Rock. We have the Douglas International Raceway, which is a big drag racing facility and is full just about every weekend during the summer. That was the old airport. We have the Wyoming State Fairgrounds. As you all know, we're going to put some big bucks in there, building equine facilities and horse barns. We have, of course, the State Fair there every year in the month of August. We have Ayers Natural Bridge, which is one of the few natural bridges in the world that has water running through it, under it. So you can walk over the creek on top of the natural bridge. We have, of course, the North Platte River that comes right through town. We have the Medicine Bow National Forest, Thunder Basin National Grasslands. And all of this means that we have excellent hunting and fishing and sightseeing opportunities. We are home, as I said, to the Wyoming State Fair every year in the month of August. We have chariot races and international drag races and shooting competitions out at the firing range. We have not only a stationary firing range, but we have the skeet shooting range. So thank you very much for the opportunity to tell you all about Converse County, Wyoming. Please stop by and say hi anytime you pass through town. 135 North 6th is my address.
Thank you, Chairman Edwards. We're on that order of business of adoption of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first Conference Committee report for our consideration today is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, the Senate File 8. And that, Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move Joint Conference Committee Report 1 to Senate File 8. Reference is House Message Number 429. We met with the Senate. We, as you see on your report, we adopted a couple of the House committee, or a couple of the House amendments. Those had to do with the transport of wine. The Senate requested that two House amendments be deleted. The one House amendment was a standing committee amendment, and that was the amendment that the vehicles had to be in motion. They felt that that was a loophole for defense, and the second amendment that they requested be deleted was the amendment that we made deleting recreational vehicles as exempt from open containers. So that's what we would be agreeing to if we agree to this conference report, is that recreational vehicles are exempt, and the vehicle, anyone drinking in a vehicle, a driver, whether the vehicle is in motion or not, that would be an offense.
Is there any discussion? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have one question. A little further explanation of the law on the go amendment so that we know what to do when that passes.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Robinson.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, we had quite a discussion in committee regarding whether it should be an offense if the car is moving or not, because lots of times people are parked at a park and, you know, they sit in their car, they're not driving, they're not on the roadway, and we felt that the intent of this law was if you were driving down the road drinking, and for that reason, I would say maybe we should not concur with this report.
Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to take a few moments and address this issue. Obviously, what's happened here is they sent it over to us. We put in a common sense amendment, which was second reading amendment number 1 to the Senate file. And basically, they just reversed course on it. And at that time, when I spoke for that amendment, we talked about the logic of having an exemption for a recreational vehicle that holds many more people than an ordinary passenger vehicle could. We talked about the logic of a recreational vehicle that weighs anywhere from 3 to 5 times the amount of the average weight of your passenger vehicle. And we asked ourselves, why would we have an exemption if we've heard all of these statistics about how the more passengers you have, whether it's GDL or some other piece of legislation, the more passengers you have, the more distracted the driver is, number one. Well, you know what it means for an RV. You're going to have a few more passengers in the vehicle. And then you just think about, why would it make sense to to allow open containers in a vehicle that is so much more dangerous if it were to be operated by someone who was under the influence, because that's what we're trying to prevent here. Why would we allow that as an exemption? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Think about this. You have some larger SUVs, some of the Ford products, or excuse me for saying a name, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of them in Wyoming. Well, what's the difference between people traveling to the ball game in one of those who sit in the second or even the third seat that want to have a drink, and the driver's not going to be drinking? It's out of his zone of control. Yet, that's going to be illegal. But if you can afford a motorhome, then it's okay. And on top of that, it's much more dangerous for the recreational vehicle to be driving down the road with the driver under the influence. I'm not going to say this is the height of hypocrisy, but folks, I think we are approaching the threshold of hypocrisy here. And if the goal of the legislation is to prevent the driver of any vehicle from having alcohol, then you've got to take this exemption out. It's just not right in my mind. And if this is that important, then maybe we need to revisit this issue next year and craft a solution that's fair to everybody. Because as it stands, I don't feel good about going home to my constituents and trying to explain why somebody in an RV can, this doesn't apply to them, but it applies to a pickup, a four-door sedan, or a larger SUV. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll say the restate what my good friend from Torrington has just said, but I call this the fat cat Daddy Warbucks exemption. And so if you have a lot of money and you can afford a 35 to 50 footer, you can roll down the road with a plethora of passengers, none of them seat belted in the back. It is unequal treatment. And again, if you have money, the law doesn't apply to you. And I won't say that it's the height of, my good friend said it wasn't the height of hypocrisy. I disagree. This is the height of hypocrisy. If you're Daddy Warbucks, the law doesn't apply to you. I look forward to more discussion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would surely disagree with the last couple of speakers. There's a lot of people now that have retired. We have several in our community, several that drive through the state. What a lot of these folks have done now, it's a different generation. The parents of the baby boomers, a lot of them have sold their homes. This is their home. And it's nothing to have, you know, if you live in a $35,000 home, I don't think that's being part of the rich and the famous. There's several folks that we have, they just live on fixed incomes, but they do go to Arizona in the winter. These homes have, a lot of them have liquor cabinets in the back. They have broken open bottles of your famous beverages, but they're not drinking these as they go down the road. These are in the back part of an RV. And some of them are extremely wealthy, but that doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them bad people if they're very poor. But what the case is, we have people driving through this state, whether they're rich or poor, that immediately they're going to come into this state and be illegal, because in other states it is legal to have these half-open bottles of whiskey, and I act like I don't know what they are. Trust me, I do. But whiskey and scotch. I don't have an RV, and I don't drink them when I'm driving. I want to clarify that. But Mr. Speaker, it is a serious issue, and I don't think we need to turn this into a class issue. It's a home, and I guarantee this will not. If you want to kill the bill, this is a great way to do it, because I guarantee the Senate will not get off these two issues. The part of about the stopping along the roads, the patrolmen and the law enforcement were very very serious that would be a problem if you walk up to a car and you see somebody has an open container in there and they're not moving. They can't be cited with an open container because it's a non-moving vehicle. They have to see them driving, drinking their suds as they're going down the road. So, Mr. Speaker, I disagree so much on these two arguments. You know, they were my good friends, but I don't know now after we go to the class board. I think they're my best ex-friends. Let's go ahead and support the Senate's changes on this. This is about the first time I think I've ever been on a conference committee where we've actually rolled over to the Senate that I really did like their ideas, and the sponsor of this bill had great debates, and I'm going to go ahead and support them, and I hope the rest of you will too. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to talk about class warfare or welfare or any of that stuff, and how much money somebody has, whether they drive a large vehicle, drive a small vehicle, or anything like that. I just want to talk about what I mentioned when I brought the amendment to begin with, and it's called a message. It's a message. We're trying to send a message, but we're sending one message here and a different message there. I think it's time that if we're going to do something, let's be consistent across the board. It's just consistency. I'd like to see that. If we're going to exempt and exempt and exempt, then we probably don't need the bill. Let's be consistent. And I would urge you not to support this. Let's go back and let's just say, let's be consistent. I don't think there's any problem with driving down the road and having liquor in your liquor cabinets. That's not the issue. The issue is driving down the road and having people drink while you're driving. That is the issue. It's nothing more than that. There truly is no difference between me coming down here in a vehicle that I own with five of my friends to a game, or me coming down with a friend that I have who happens to be across the other side of the Capitol, going down and playing around a golf, and me being in the back and having a good old time. There truly is no difference. Let's just send a consistent message. Let's not vote for this concurrence.
Representative Alden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the concurrence, my concern is that this is the first step to a two-tiered criminal justice system. I think that what the good representative from Sublette County said is true, that it lacks consistency. I don't think we want to head down the road of a justice system that is not equitable to all parties, be that economic status, religion, or race. Thank you.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask for your support in the concurrence. There are a couple of things. I think the way we left the bill out of the House was in better shape. However, it does now conform with the federal requirements, so that will mean that we can free up the funding. I think these changes that we made are worth considering and worth bringing back next year. By voting the bill down today, I think it will essentially kill the bill, and I think there's some reasons to support the bill, even with its imperfection. We've seen over the last few days that there are differences in the two houses, and sometimes the differences can kill a bill, and I think the strengths of the bill are really setting a standard in general to not drink in moving vehicles. We've got some details to work out, but we can do that in the future. And this will free up some funding, and this does fit with the federal mandates, and I hope that we might just vote for the bill at this point, let it get through, and then let's talk about some of these changes in the interim and really make this into an even better bill. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow representatives, I certainly advocate that we support the concurrence and move forward with this legislation. It's been around for a considerable period of time. We looked at this, and I certainly laud all of those that ran the amendments on this legislation, understand the thrust and intent of what we're trying to do here. But one thing we can't lose sight of is that we can't legislate discipline and self-control. The person that has to refrain from drinking intoxicating substances is the driver. Repeat that again, it's the driver. You can be surrounded in a sea of alcoholic beverages, but it's the driver that has the control of the vehicle. And we still have that element here. And so as we look at this, and you listen to the points that were brought out by my good colleague from Laramie County about motor homes, and the fact some of them are literally that, they're rolling vehicles, recreational vehicles, and perhaps it would be best legislation if we said, yes, open containers are not allowed in vehicles, but we're putting a horrible burden on the law enforcement individuals. It'll be difficult to enforce this. I'm sure there'll be some real questions you're asked on this if even if we pass it with all of the amendments. I think it is a piece that we need to go forward with, and once again I stress that self-control is with the driver, not with the passengers on this, and I would recommend we go forward.
Representative White.
Mr. Speaker, I think I agree with at least part of this concurrence, and that's the situation as far as the vehicle in motion. As soon as you pull the vehicle over, it's no longer in motion and there's probably no longer a violation. So I think that definitely needs to be there.
I would like to see the motorhomes out of there, but I guess that's going to have to be a policy decision that we decide on. And I support concurrence. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative McCallum.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mr. Speaker. I would just like to I guess, iterate, as the good Dr. Tipton used to say, what was said by the gentleman from Laramie County. And more of these come through motorhomes. These are motorhomes. These are homes. These are not nine-passenger SUVs. These are homes. And most of these people aren't taking this motorhome and going to the ball game or something like this. They're traveling through our community. Nationwide, motorhomes are exempt because they are just that. They're a traveling home. And I'd like us not to get, let's not get off track on this. There's a difference between a nine-passenger SUV and something you live in and travel from one end of the United States to the other. So I'm for the concurrence.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, speaking against concurrence, and one of my good colleagues mentioned something about that it's the driver we're concerned about, that it's a matter of control. Well, if it was a matter of self-control, we wouldn't even meet this bill. Let's face it, alcohol is very attractive. It's a very romantic liquid, if you will. Many of us use it for a lot of different reasons. To cure depression, to feel happier, for a lot of different reasons. And sometimes, let's face it, I think we all know that at certain points, certain people, for whatever reason, reach a certain point and sober one minute, drunk the next. And if we're going to make this differentiation between a motorhome and a van or a pickup, the fact that some people live in a motorhome, I don't think it's much different than some people that live in a car. So I think, you either go one way or you go the other way. Middle of the road, I think, sends a wrong message. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time, anyone else? Representative Robinson. You'd be second. Somehow I missed you. I'm fine this day. First time.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
On against concurrence, seems as though there is a fairly strong equal protection argument that would lend itself to the unconstitutionality of the bill. If you think about graduated driver's license, do we say that if you drive an RV, you don't have to meet the provisions of the graduated driver's license bill? No, we don't. That exception is in there for reasons that aren't particularly sound. And I think we all recognize that. While there may be some technical arguments about people who live in a motorhome and in an RV, yeah, sure, that's a potential problem. But otherwise, that's a red herring, I think. And if it doesn't apply to all, I think it's violative of the U.S. Constitution and the Wyoming Constitution.
First time. Second time. Representative Robinson.
Mr. Speaker, it's not often that I change my mind on something this quickly on the floor, but my concern came from discussion in committee in regard to people that were in their vehicles that weren't on the road. And I see where the problem lies. I see why the conference committee stuck with what they did in regard to moving vehicles. I think that we should concur, and then we do need to come back, and we do need next year to make some clarifications on if they're off the road. and not being pursued and went off the road or something like that. But I think that we can clean it up next year in regard to where you would be parked in a vehicle and it would be legal to be drinking alcohol. And I do agree with the wreck vehicles that we have, tourism is a huge thing in the state of Wyoming, and people coming into our state are not going to know that the minute they cross the Wyoming border, they're going to be in violation. And I think that's a lot to expect from the people that travel through our state and spend a lot of money to help our economy. And I would argue that owning a motorhome does not put people into a class, because motorhomes, the value of the motorhomes go down very quickly. I know people who have cars that cost more than motorhomes that some of my friends have, or a motorhome that we have. So I think the class argument is probably not valid. Not all the people who drive motorhomes are driving one that costs $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000. Some of them are $20,000, $30,000 motorhomes, and while they're traveling in them, they are their homes. So I have changed my mind, and I would recommend concurrence.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm going to apologize a little bit with my Mulo on the go. I may have not been clear where I was on this bill. I'm on and in favor of concurrence. In 1992 was the first time we were back in the state. We brought two students down here, both of them 18, one from Turkey, where she was a Muslim and they didn't drink at all, and one from Sweden, where they have very strict drinking and driving laws, and they just don't have a problem with drinking drivers. We listened to an impassioned debate on this floor, and right up there where my wife is sitting today, and it went on and on and on, and I said, they're just not getting it. And now we're back doing the same thing 12 years later. I have a sincere concern that if we don't concur here and we go back and forth with the Senate, that we'll lose this bill, and we'll send a message that open containers are fine in cars, and if you don't catch the driver, that's too bad for the police officers, and we're missing the point. It's people who drink and drive, that they're killing people on our highways. I urge your support of this bill, or this concurrence.
Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think, respectfully, we all understand the point here. We don't want anybody to drink and drive. We don't want people to have so much liquor that they can't safely operate a motor vehicle. And folks, let's remember, we already have a law in the books that prohibits that. We've got DUI law, and it's already illegal for a driver of any vehicle to consume alcohol while we're driving. That's the law that the good representative from Natrona County alluded to just a moment ago. The question is do you want to treat people differently? The good representative from Park County made an excellent argument when it comes to equal protection under the law. Seriously, we're not just throwing this out as some kind of just a constitutional argument that's flim-flam. This is seriously something that will have constitutional problems if we pass this law. If you look at Article 1, Section 34 of the Wyoming State Constitution, all laws of a general nature shall have uniform operation. This law isn't uniform at all. Like I said, and I think there is a class difference here. If you have the money to have a motorhome, you can roll down the road with your friends in the back. They can drink and have a good time. If you happen to own just a large SUV and your friends are in the back, no can do. You've violated the law. You'll get in trouble for that. You'll be cited, and you'll have a criminal record. But the folks in the RV, no, they won't have one, because it's okay. Why is that okay? Why are we afraid as a body to say, look, this law has some problems, folks? Because we don't disagree on our intent. But we've got to take a step back, I think, and say, is this how we want to do this? We want to do this piecemeal and say, oh, we'll fix it later? I think it's our responsibility as a policy-making body to do this right the first time. Why couldn't there have been a compromise in the conference committee on this issue of RVs? Instead, what happens is, if we make the law better, we send it over to the other side, they strip our stuff out and send it back. The problem isn't solved. We tried to solve it. The problem isn't solved. And then if you look at the United States Constitution, if anybody's interested, if you look under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, I think this law will be in violation of that as well. And this thing will be challenged in the courts. It's going to be unenforceable. And I want to leave you with this. It's not that any of us disagree that people shouldn't be drinking in the cars and driving. But for goodness sake, shouldn't we treat everybody fairly? Shouldn't this be of uniform application as our Constitution says? Let's not be afraid to say, look, we gave it a shot, we couldn't figure it out, we have the responsibility as a policy-making body to do this right, we will come back, and we will fix it so it applies equally to everyone. To just pass it out of here, to get something out of here, I just don't agree with that. Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, it's not about good people or bad people or class warfare or the home. Sure, it's folks' homes, but the difference is this one rolls down the road. It's been almost kind of suggesting some of the debate on this. If you vote against this concurrence, maybe we kind of condone drug driving or open containers or all that. It's really not about that. It's whether we want to fix this thing and pass good legislation. And I think the good representative from Torrington said it all. But I guess I'd like to frame the debate on this, and there is some a problem with it. So with that, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We announce for their second time. Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I still disagree with my... They're my good friends now. We made up in the back, Mr. Speaker. But, you know, to stand up and say something's unconstitutional without even going to the Supreme Court, you know, these young aspiring candidates for the Supreme Court would probably be disagreeing on a lot of cases. We have a lot of... if you watch the Supreme Court decisions, they come out 5-4, they come out split, sometimes they come out even. We don't know what that would happen, you know, these gentlemen, I just respect them so much on the law. They know so much more about it than I do. But I'm also a capitalist. I want that $4 million from the feds. Mr. Speaker, this bill is not a bad bill, and we don't have to. It's okay once a year to roll over to the Senate, Mr. Speaker, and do what they like. I know this bill will not go through the Senate with that recreational vehicle out of there. There's some people over there adamant that have the voice to. To keep sending this back. I guess we could go back to another conference committee. I wouldn't be a good one to put on it, Mr. Speaker. But let's support this concurrence and every bill we have in here always needs tweaks. They always need fix. Look at the school foundation thing. We never get it right the first year. We work for years and years and years. It's a very dynamic body that we have on both sides, and these laws are going to be changing. That's why we have 800 different bills to look at every year. Those aren't 800 new statutes. We're working on 800 old statutes. So, Mr. Speaker, let's concur on this, and thank you for your time.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to clarify a few things. First of all, we're not losing the $4 million. The $4 million is coming into the state of Wyoming today. What is happening with the $4 million is the federal government is dictating to the Department of Transportation, you will use this money for the promotion of safety. That's $4 million that truly is being used to talk about safety on our highways today. If we do accept the conference committee report and that money comes in, then the Department of Transportation can do with, I believe, what they want with it, and maybe not for safety anymore. So I think that money's being used very wisely right now. Let's think about the conference committee report. Let's think about how we really want to vote. Let's think about the message that we're truly sending, and let's try to be just a little bit consistent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First off, I wanted to answer the question of the good representative from Casper. The Merlot issue, if that's resealed, that will not be considered an open container. It looks to me that we have a choice here, and the choice is either to go ahead and agree with the conference report, and what that will do will put in place a statute that's questionable as far as equal protection goes, or we can reject the conference committee report and take it to a free committee and try to put language in there that will take care of the containers that are stored in RVs and making sure that it's an open container that's in that somebody is drinking from it, I guess, rather than just in the vehicle.
We are voting on whether or not to adopt the Joint Conference Committee number 1, the Senate file 8. We are voting on whether or not to adopt the Conference Committee number 1 to Senate file 8. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholtz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Gilloway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Filk, Powers, Forberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Wanitzer, Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Watt, no to aye. Buholtz, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 29 ayes, 29 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to adopt the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate file 8. I see the House is trying to earn their money again today. Now in that order of business on the question of whether to override the governor's veto of House Bill 156, I believe. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House of Representatives override the governor's veto of House Enrolled Act number 58, being original House Bill 156. The override requires a two-thirds majority.
Once again, the motion is debatable, but the debate supposedly is centered on whether or not to override. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm speaking on and in support of the override of the governor's veto to House Bill 156. Mr. Speaker, I do not see this as an issue of are we going to allow the simulcasting of historical races, but rather are we going to support the horse racing industry in this state by allowing the simulcasting of historical races. The simulcasting of parimutuel events has been legal in this state since the mid-1980s, and parimutuel wagering has been legal since 1967. The horse racing industry and simulcast is one of the most regulated industries we have in Wyoming. The horsemen are continually looking at ways to improve purses and breeder awards so they can afford to race their horses in Wyoming, which is why this legislation has come before you in this session. I'm sure that we could and probably will spend a tremendous amount of time discussing the operation of the instant racing terminals, but I for one trust in the Parimutuel Commission's decision to allow the use of the instant racing terminals, and that they were satisfied after a two-year study that the terminals were not a gaming device, but operated in the same manner as the simulcast terminals that have been used in Wyoming for years. This new technology is providing an opportunity for the horsemen to increase the purses and breeder awards of the state by utilizing pyramid mutual wagering of historic races. The races at Wyoming Downs generates over $7 million of economic benefit to Uinta County area, and in 2004 paid to the state of Wyoming $396,000 in fees and taxes. The live racetrack in Evanston and the off-track wagering facilities in Evanston, Rock Springs, Cheyenne, and Casper supports over 1,100 full-time and part-time jobs in Wyoming. Wagering on a pari-mutuel event is a personal choice. I, for one, do not wager or do not choose to wager on pari-mutuel events, but that does not lessen my enjoyment of horse racing, and that is why I support the efforts of the horsemen and breeders to find ways to increase purses and breeder awards so that they may continue to race in this state. And I hope that I always have the opportunity to be able to go to the track in Evanston and watch the horses run. I respect each and every legislator and the decisions that they make, even if those decisions are different from my own, because that decision is a personal choice or belief of that legislator. So as we've done many times during this session, we have to make a decision. And the question you must ask yourself is, are we as legislators willing to allow an industry that only wants to help itself to remain viable by increasing the race purses and breeder awards through the simulcasting of historical races and other tracks so that the horsemen and breeders of this state can afford to remain in Wyoming to race their horses? At this time, I ask for your support of the override of the governor's veto. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Dirks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, you'll remember that we've gone through this over and over again. It seems like in the last decade or so, it's every time there's a bill dealing with our pari-mutuel industry, somehow late in the process, voices come forth and try to tilt it, try to sway it toward one particular aspect of the bill, and it behooves us in times like this to stay on the bubble, to stay with the idea that we really are supporting the horsemen of our state, in the same sense that we wouldn't want to bring up in a discussion of irrigation districts whether they are actually going to grow barley on those fields that might someday turn into beer. We don't need to tell the horsemen of this state that just because what they do is inextricably tied to gaming, to racing, that goes anywhere from the spots in Wyoming to the Kentucky Derby, it's necessarily a part of it. And we really don't want to penalize our horsemen just for that, or sway late in the day, late in the process, try to sway the discussion over to gaming itself. And Mr. Speaker, you remember these debates. And you remember that over and over again, with this governor's predecessor, this House would stay firm in a bipartisan mode to support the horsemen of this industry. And those of us today ask for the same bipartisan spirit, even though the executive office has changed. The rhetoric is still the same. There are groups out there that, rather than deal with all 90 of us, decide late in the process to try to deal with one person and to try to bring up enough fear-mongering and tactics to sway that person. And it's happened over and over. So, yes, there are times when those of us will stand up and remind the body that this is something that's been in effect since 1967. And if something has gone way awry, it would have gone awry long before now. Those of you who are new to the body, Before you change your mind from your third reading vote on this bill, you really need to get acquainted with some members of the Paramutual Commission and talk with them and hear the history and hear what this is all about. And you're not going to find people tied to big Vegas-style gambling. You are going to find people representing the horsemen of this state. I urge you, before you change your mind on this bill, to do that, as some of us have had the opportunity to talk with these people. Check out the responses you are getting on your email, and you're going to see different names coming up with this bill than you have in the previous measures that have come before this body. That's because it's coming from the horsemen. So, if someone wants to try to sway this bill over a particular item that was in it, we can have these discussions, because it was brought forth to our Agriculture Committee, the amendment. It wasn't originally on the bill. This bill is much more than the part that we read about in the veto message. And yes, some of us will stand up and rather stridently point that out, that it's not about just this one aspect. And it really is about horse racing in Wyoming. And do not think that it's a small deal to the people of the state of Wyoming that the possibility that a horse that was raised in Wyoming, in Wyoming stables, could be in the Kentucky Derby, just in the same sense that we have pride when we have a wrestler go to the Olympics and win the gold medal. There is that element. That element needs to be part of this discussion today. If there are voices that are going to come late in the process and try to sway it to one aspect, whether those voices come from this body or downstairs, we will be strident in our opposition. I urge override. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to rise and remind the body that we have, of course, a veto of a particular bill, and we have approximately 2.5 pages of reasoning behind what the governor has put forward for us. And each of us was provided a copy of this, and there are very succinct reasons in here why the governor took this particular action. And just highlighting a few of these is, first, is working on this gambling aspect, if you will, in piecemeal fashion. We've faced this before, and we have a study that's going to go forward out of the joint committees, and I think that's a key part that's here. The second thing is expanding or changing the scope, as the governor's pointing out here in another paragraph, that is going beyond what we have on the traditional horse racing concept. The state of Wyoming has a proud heritage of horse racing, of course, and I think the body at large is certainly not here to kill, if you would, the horse racing, but it's just what is being done to supplement the horse racing and how that's being presented, and that's what the governor is talking about here also. One of the other concerns here is the fact that it alters the type of parimutuel wagering that is going on. It was electronic in the bill, and that's, I'm sure, what's caught the governor's eye. And in this continuing process that we have, it's you have the legislative and the executive. And the executive has spoke here. I think that we ought to look at this in the long-term concept. It ought to go into a study-type mode, and we ought to stand firm with the governor's veto.
Representative Brechtel.
Mr. Speaker, I, too, have not forgotten how I felt about the bill initially. Really haven't changed my mind. I think that our governor really was wise in suggesting that we need to study this a little bit farther. Well, I don't think we're ready for electronic gambling, and I'd just like to remind the body that gambling in any color is still hurts a certain number of people. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some information that comes straight from the horse's mouth. Support the override and support horse racing. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Second time? Second time, Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I've heard over and over concerns about the operation of the instant racing pools and that particular device. I have a study and information that came from a very highly respected individual. He's one of the utmost authorities in paramutual and simulcasting devices. Let me share a little bit with you. As he ran this through a test, and so maybe that you get a better understanding of what we're dealing with. This gentleman comes from, resides in Toronto, Ontario, and was actually asked by a similar group as this to comment on the instant racing pools. And he put this through some basic tests. I think that there was 8 in number, and I won't go into all of it, but to begin with, a basic paramutual test. He states, in my opinion, the instant racing pools are based on the following paramutual principles. The operator and government receives a takeout amount from the gross pool. There is no interest in the winning outcome. The payout amounts are determined by the amounts wagered by players. There are no fixed odds. Instant racing pools come in 4 iterations, all included in the model rules. Payouts are calculated in the standard paramutual fashion. The amount bet on the winning outcome is divided into the net pool and the amount available to the those who won. The two principles that he has discussed previously, he states, in my opinion, the key factors in determining whether or not a proposed wagering game is paramutual or not. I believe that the instant racing pool meets all of these two criteria. He goes on with additional supplemental paramutual tests and states, in addition to the basic two criteria above, the following factors are generally applied to paramutual pools through regulatory programs. In my opinion, these factors to apply to the instant racing pools. 1, a player selects the outcome on which to wager based on the player's personal decision, handicapping information based on the past performance of the contestants is provided. The player can view the race played. The wagers are made through a totalizer system with fully audible transaction records for selling, accounting, and cashing of the wagers. The winning outcome is determined by the order of finish of a race sanctioned by a race commission. The pools operate according to consistent internal logic for determining winners. The pools operate according to consistent external logic of other paramutual pools for determining price calculations, breakage, minimum payout, carryover, split, and bonus pools. The pools may only be operated if approved by a regulatory body. The takeout may be apportioned in the same manner as other paramutual pools to purses, the track, and the state. He says that the first 4 factors are provided for in the model rules. Whether or not any actual implementation of the instant racing pools meets these requirements is a factual question, but left to on-site review. The 5th factor, consistent internal logic, seems to be a given to me. This factor is generally concerned with how winners are determined and how exceptions to the rules are handled. Again, real-life experience and evaluation may be the best method for assessing the factor. Factors 7 and 8 are also factual in nature and best left to field verification. Both factors are included in the model rules. He goes on for several other pages, but in each case, what he is stating is that it's in his opinion, the different pools that he discusses and the different tests he dealt with, instant racing pools meet the definition of parimutuel. We urge you to override this veto, and thank you.
Thank you. The motion is to override the governor's veto on Enrolled Act Number 58, being House Bill 156. If you vote aye, you vote to override the veto. If you vote no, you vote to sustain the veto. The override requires a two-thirds majority of the members elected. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buell, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammond, Harshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forward, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Landon? Miller? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 40 ayes, 18 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to override the veto of the Governor's Act on House Enrolled Act Number 58, being original House Bill 156. Representative, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. Speaker, we're today in the West Balcony. We have a class of one. A homeschooler has come to watch how we conduct business. Would you please rise and welcome Shannon Healy from Cheyenne. Welcome to the House.
We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the following bills to a third reading list, a consent list, consisting of Senate File 93, Senate File 100, Senate File 130, Senate File 131, Senate File 140, Senate File 143, Senate File 150, and Senate File 172.
Does anyone wish to remove any other bills from the list? Yes? No? Seeing none, reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 93, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to nursing, amended requirements for the practice of nursing as specified being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 100, introduced by Senator Job, an act relating to the Wyoming Public Assistance and Social Services Act being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 130, introduced by Senator Peck, an act relating to county coroner's salary being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 131, introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to school facilities, land disposition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 140, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to hospital districts, trustees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 143, introduced by Senator Barrasso, enacted relating to professions and occupations, physicians, requirement for licensure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 150, introduced by Senator Burns, enacted relating to the Office of the Attorney General, prosecution account, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 172, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, enacted relating to the GAAP accounting system and implementation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen excused, Landon, Latta excused, Lockhart, Lebnow, Martin, McComey, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Forward, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlet, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 93, are there any changes? Miley? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 100, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 130, are there any changes? Miley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 131, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 140, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 143, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 150, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 172, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 93, 100, 130, 131, 140, 143, 150, and 172 have passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Representative Gay.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
We have travelers from afar today, traveling all the way from beautiful Natrona County in the West Gallery. I'd like you to welcome Shannon and James Rivera. Please stand.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
You may. Please proceed.
I want to thank everybody for their contributions to the Race for the Cure. We've done way better than we've done in the other years that we've been there, and I want to thank all of you for this. Additionally, we do have some of the staff that have contributed this year, and I think you understood that we will be a team with the Senate this year. And so there's one open room here, and that is we need a name for this team. So if you've got a real inspiration that is captures the issue, get it to me, and I'll try to include that as I negotiate with a good senator chairman on the name.
Members of the House, I do have some joint conference committees I will announce now so they can get thinking about it. Joint Conference Committee for Senate File 19, State Land Trust Responsibilities, Hageman Chair, Samuelson, Semlett. Joint Conference Committee for House Bill 308, the Methamphetamine Initiative, Osborne Chair, Harvey Korber. Conference Committee for Senate File 8, we'll give you another chance at it, open container, Landon, Lubnow, and Warren. You've heard the motion to adjourn until 2 p.m. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. House is in recess until 2 p.m. I just said I had you on one and one of the trying to remember, and it was a no or a yes. And I'll be glad to. I just almost up there. No, I'm glad you asked. You'll see, you will.